Roswell Capital is an elite Ohio-based private equity firm with a specialization in long-term, high cash flow multifamily investments. If you're looking for long-term recurring income, you should check out Roswell Capital. From their approach to managing risk, to the locations they invest, the product quality they provide, this firm is serious about what they do, which is why the owners of Roswell Capital invest their money in every deal they take on. Review their case studies by visiting RustBeltCapital.com. That's RustBeltCapital.com. Once again, RustBeltCapital.com or email investor@RustBeltCapital.com.
There's a difference between savings, investing, speculating, and gambling. Four completely different things. It's very important to know when you do each one.
Hello, left fielders. Welcome to the Passive Investing from Left Field podcast. Our community is focused on networking and education to help people invest passively and think differently. Let's go.
Hi, this is Russell Gray, co-host of the Real Estate Guys radio show, and you're listening to the Passive Investing from Left Field podcast.
I'm really excited today to have MC Laubscher with us again. He is one of the leading voices in alternative wealth strategies and alternative investing. His passion is helping business owners achieve more freedom and live and leave a legacy for their families. He is the creator and host of top-rated business and investing podcasts, Cashflow Ninja, Cashflow Investing Secrets, and Cashflow Ninja Banking. He also has a new trilogy, a trilogy of books. It's fantastic. The 21 Best Cashflow Niches, the 21 Most Unique Cashflow Niches, and the 21 Best Growth Niches. MC was previously on our podcast, Passive Investing from Left Field, episode 49, way back in December of 2021. So it is well beyond time that we have MC back. MC, welcome to the Passive Investing from Left Field podcast.
So great to be here, Jim, and I've been looking forward to our conversation.
I have too. I cannot wait to dive in to all of these different cash flow niches. I mean, you have 63 just in those three new books. So I'm super excited about this. But first, let's, the way we normally start is a little bit about your journey. Now, if listeners want to dive into the entire journey, go back to episode 49, give that a re-listen. But can you kind of give us the abbreviated journey? How did you get into real estate, alternative assets? How'd you become the ninja? All of it.
Yeah, so I'm originally from South Africa. I grew up during a very interesting time in South Africa. And as a young man, it was a blessing. The country was going through significant change. There was a lot of uncertainty. There was a lot of unknowns. Like, people couldn't see a bigger and better future like the next day. So at that stage, it was very, very crazy. But it was a gift. It was a gift to learn and understand risk management too, and how important it is in all areas of our life. I look back at it now, it turned me into a critical thinker, someone that is contrarian, always likes to get different opinions from all over the place. For example, one of the things that I do with relations to investments, before I invest in anything, I'll write down 10 reasons why it's the greatest investment that I'm ever going to make ever in my life. And it's just going to be incredibly good. And then I'll write 10 reasons down why it's the worst investment that I'm ever going to make. And I'll have this debate with myself, right? And that came from just growing up in South Africa and going through that, because if you only live in one echo chamber, in one bubble, or only have one viewpoint, you have just so many blind spots, right? And these incredible minds in business and investing that I've interviewed, they're always wondering what their blind spot is. And I'm like, wow, you're so successful and incredibly like wealthy, and you've done so well. You're obviously doing something right, but they're always looking for what they're missing. They don't want blind spots. So that kind of like shaped me into who I am today in my mindset and how I think, and like how I'm very contrarian and always looking for alternative things. You know, when it comes to every single area of my life, whether it be health, whether it be financial wealth, whether it be within my family and what we do in our family, I'll always look at alternatives, right, to just the mainstream kind of norms. I came to the U.S. in 2001, backpack, suitcase, $500, sense of humor, sense of adventure, found this incredible country, that offers so much with, like, there's absolutely no limit to your upside potential, what you can achieve here. And that's why there's so many rags to riches stories, right? How many of them are out there? There's so many. So what a great country. And then I played sports here up until 2007. And then I decided to, while I was playing sports, that the U.S. is the place where I wanted to plant some roots and build some incredible things, because it was the environment that you can do that in with nothing capping or limiting your upside. So I read the Purple Book, Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad, Poor Dad, in 2001 while I was traveling and playing rugby, took action right away, bought my first property probably about 6 months after, within the first 6 months of finishing the book. I had tenants in the property. They paid the rent. I paid all of the expenses, and I had cash flow. And then I looked at this and go, how many times can I do this? This is incredible. And of course, every investor will tell you that's when school starts, right? You think you have it all figured out because you had success on that first one. So a journey of up and down and a lot of failures, but obviously also a lot of successes. It led me to invest in different things, right? I started in single family. But I grew into multifamily and then into different asset classes of commercial real estate and then to different other interesting asset classes and niches. One of the other big moments in my life, Jim, was like figuring out that, hey, I am like loving this investment game, but there's one element that I'm missing. And every year, by the way, I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki's book, because every single year, when I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and I've been doing that since 2001. It was published in 1997. In 2001 is the first time I read it. Every single year, there's something else that I get from that. When the student is ready, the teacher appears. And the one year, I looked at the financial statements, and it says, it said to me, whoa, wait a second. All of these liabilities on this financial statement that he was sharing in the book is somebody else's asset constantly. Whose is it? Well, it was the bank's. And then I looked at the bank and I'm like, well, the banks have got this figured out, and you have to figure out how to be your bank and how to operate like a bank and be the owner of the bank. And then it turned into me researching family offices because they have their own banking system, for their family, for their personal business and investing economy and so forth. I then started a company in 2015, which is a firm where we help people create and implement and execute the infinite banking concept strategy. We help business owners create their own banking system. And we've been doing that since 2015. And then I started Cashflow Ninja, the podcast, in 2016, which is kind of funny. Everybody's like, which one came first? Was it first the Producer's Wealth, or was it Cashflow Ninja? It was actually Producer's Wealth. And the reason why I started Cashflow Ninja is I just want to learn. I'm a lifelong learner. I will never arrive at knowledge. I will never know everything there is to know. So I'm always just learning and always just trying to get better, just like a ninja, like a martial artist, right? Getting better at my craft every single day. I'm being disciplined. And that is why I started Cashflow Ninja and interviewing the best minds in business and investing. And it was a passion project. I just wanted to learn and figure out what other interesting cash flow niches and investment opportunities there were and other alternative wealth strategies and so forth. And I could have never imagined that it turned into what it has today. Downloaded in over 180 countries, millions of times. We're an educational company now with podcasts, books, courses, and newsletters, and a community. So it's been a wild ride, and it's been a lot of fun. I've been able to meet incredible people such as yourself. So continue to enjoy the journey.
Yeah, that's well said. And I think part of the best part of being a guest, or not a guest, a host of a podcast, is you get to interview all these smart people, right? I'm sitting here, I'm chomping at the bit because I'm going to learn about all these new investment opportunities and niches. And so, you just learn so much just being a podcast host and then, developing your own community. I mean, it's a great story. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's fun.
Yeah, it is. It's a great time. You get to talk to like-minded people and figure out how to make money. So I love it. And I love that you have a focus on cash flow because, I started out in real estate thinking appreciation. And, I finally learned, you know, cash flow is where it's at. You can get the appreciation, but cash flow is the focus. So what I want to start with is, what are alternative wealth strategies and alternative assets? This is a little bit, you know, backing down to passive investing 101, I guess, but just a level set before we get into the niches. Can you talk about the wealth strategies and alternative assets as a class?
Yeah, so I love the alternative wealth strategies and alternative asset investing. And alternative meaning it's an alternative to the mainstream, because everyone, I mean, if we think about our educational system, and it's not just in the United States, pick your country, anywhere in the world, it's really at this stage, you know, indoctrination camps, and people get offended by it. But I'm like, no, it's indoctrinating and training people to be employees, to go out and become good employees and work in a job, and then pay your bills, you know, pay where you live, you know, your renting or your home, your cars. And if there's money left over, then you put it in stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. You hand it over to Wall Street, right? So you're part of this corporate system, which this educational system prepares you for. And then once you're in this corporate system, well, who are the other two beneficiaries? Wall Street and the government. So Wall Street benefits by, you're just giving the money to them because that's mainstream, right? That's what we're getting. Hand it over. They know best. And of course, that's where they absolutely, you lose all control. You have no control over the fees. You have no control over the markets. They go up, down, and sideways. So you only really win when it goes up, right? So you might get appreciation, but there's no cash flow. There's no tax benefits, and you don't really get to leverage anything. You're just a bag holder. And if you want to make it worse, then you put it in a qualified plan, which is your 401ks, your 403bs, and your IRAs, which then defers taxes, you know, down the line. So you don't pay taxes on it now. You pay taxes 20 to 30 to 40 years, right? So immediate beneficiary, Wall Street. They get the assets under management with all the fees, and you're the bag holder if there's a rug pull coming from big institutions which move markets. And way down the line, the government benefits because you pay taxes on the harvest, not the seed. And I think when people start thinking of that, they're like, wait a second. So you planted a seed, and instead of paying taxes on the seed, you pay taxes on the harvest down the line. Doesn't make any sense. Obviously benefits them. That's the mainstream. The alternative to that is a world where you have different strategies. You think differently about what is wealth, what is capital, what is money, what is actual money, what is investing. It's different. There's a difference between savings, investing, speculating, and gambling. Four completely different things. It's very important to know when you do each one. And in the alternative wealth strategy world, you know what you're doing, when you're doing it, and what vehicles to use when you're doing it. You have more control. You are in control of your own destiny because you're in control of your own capital. You don't blindly focus on just focus on hope, right? Hope things are going okay. Alternative wealth strategies, markets go up, down, and sideways. Economies go up, down, and sideways. You're gonna do well in any scenario, in any market, in any economy. And alternative asset clauses and investing, you know, it's funny that it's now become a buzzword almost, right? In Wall Street, oh, the alts. If you just go to Google, you type in alternative assets, it's like the buzzword is spreading around. And I know these, I know Wall Street. I have friends that have worked in the City of London and Wall Street, and they're going to come to try and corner that brand or that name. No. We own that. Alternative asset clauses are asset clauses outside of Wall Street where you, as an investor, can invest directly in them and be the beneficiary of all of the things that it offers. So, for example, cash flow, tax benefits, appreciation, and then also leverage the skill sets, capabilities, and a network and capital of others, which is Those four things is what we run through our opportunity filter, which we use in our community to look at deals. The other thing that I would also say is with alternative asset classes, a mentor told me this one time. Very important if you're listening to this. This might be a one big takeaway for someone to listen to. The further you are away from the actual investment, the less control you have, and the more stack of fees and slices are taken out, right? So if you're buying an ETF or a REIT because you want to be a real estate investor, I know people will chuckle when they listen to this. If you buy a REIT because you want to be a real estate investor, think how far away you are actually from that asset. Where in the alternative asset investing world, in our world, I get to pick up a phone and call an operator or a sponsor, which I cut the check to, which is managing my real estate for me, which I directly invested in through a private placement memorandum in a syndication, and I get to benefit from the cash flow, the tax benefits, the appreciation, and the leverage of that particular individual skill sets, capabilities, their networks, and their capital pools.
Wow. I mean, you nailed it. All of it. I subscribe to all of this. This is fantastic. I apologize for having my head down, but I'm just scribbling notes. This is going to be one of those podcasts that I go back. I mean, I hate the word alternatives. I always have, because the way I look at it, alternative, it's the place you live, the place you work, the place you store your stuff. You know, all it's not alternative, but the way you described it, right, is it's alternative to the mainstream, right? It's not putting your money where the government gets a take and Wall Street gets a take. So I love how you characterize that. All of that was fantastic. So if you're listening to this podcast, hit the back button about six times and listen to it again, because that was just powerful stuff. I love it. Thank you for that, MC. But we are not done. You've talked about wealth map. So I want to know, what's a wealth map? How can you use that to optimize your wealth? I'm already in alternative space. Anybody listening to this is now going to definitely want to dive into it. But let's talk about wealth maps.
Yeah, so wealth maps is simply a concept that I created and came up with. Because if you think about a map, right, a map is, number one, how we make sense of the world. Like if you think of, oh, where am I today? Well, you look at a map. This is where I'm at. This is my environment. This is the world. This is where I fit. I'm in the United States, in Newtown, Pennsylvania. Okay, here we go. I'm originally from South Africa. It helps you to make sense, number one, of your world. And then the other thing is, a map is something that you could use to navigate. So if I wanted to go from where I am right now, and let's just say I start off in New York City, New York, and I wanted to go to Los Angeles, LA. Well, now I know, okay, I want to go from New York to LA. Now I could see where what's on a map. How do I get there? Well, there's a couple of ways that you can get there. You can fly there. You can take a train. You can drive there. And if you look at that, there's then different maps for all three of those vehicles, right? There's different flight maps, there's different train maps, and there's different car maps. And then you got to look at tactically. Let's just say we're going to drive. We're gonna Clark Griswold and do a little Wally World trip, right? Little family road trip, which I love. I've got young kids. I love road trips. So a lot of memories, a lot of fun. But let's just say we do that. Now you have to think strategically, and you have to think, okay, how many days are we going to drive? Where are we going to stop? Where are we going to fill? Where are we going to grab breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Like, you have all these things that you got to think about. And eventually, let's just say you drive 5 or 6 days. So you've got 5 nights, let's just say, in a hotel. You got to break down the days. You got to break down the bathroom breaks, the lunches, all that kind of stuff. And eventually you get there. We have the ability to do the same thing with maps in our wealth world, right? So we are where we are. We know where we want to go from a wealth standpoint. And it's the exact same thing. You have a timeline that you give yourself, just like you would with the example that I just used. And then you're like, okay, this is my timeline. This is where I'm at. This is where I want to go. What strategies do I need to implement? What tactics? What tools? And of course, there's vehicles involved with that too, right? So that's when I talk about wealth maps. And the concept of wealth maps is that we have the ability to do that too and map out our kind of like our life for the next year, the next 5 years, next 10 years, 15, and 20 for ourselves and our families when it comes to a wealth overall strategy. So I love wealth maps. It gets people to think, because when I break it down like that, they're like, huh, yeah, okay. I want to replace my job completely and quit my job in 5 years. You got a timeline, right? What's your passive income right now? Meaning your leverage income from other assets where you don't have to work, you know, in them, or, you know, like be actively involved. You're working your job and you're investing, let's just say passively as an LP in deals. What's that income looking like? Okay, this is where you're at today. What do I need to do in the next 5 years to get there? How much capital do I need to deploy? And then what vehicles are we looking at, right? And then what is the strategy as far as, like, you know, exiting deals that I'm in and putting them into other deals? Like, and there's a mix of different assets, which is going to more is going to be focused on cash flow. And some of them will be focused on tax benefits. Some of them will be focused on appreciation. What's my mix need to look like to get to that target? So you can map out this for yourself, absolutely. And then, of course, you've got to be cognizant of your environment, right? Using that example that Clark Griswold, Wally World road trip from New York to California, well, there could be rain. There could be storms. There's some days that you might not be even able to drive. You know, I recently drove down in Florida with my family. It was like a monsoon. We had to pull over for like 2 hours just for the storm to settle. So this is navigating your environment. So yes, you've got this whole thing mapped out. You've got your wealth map, but then you have to almost have like a little Waze, you know, a GPS to help guide you. Some roads might be shut down. We'll go, now I got to go a different route, right? So these things happen. It's not static. There's no environment that's static. It's very dynamic. And then you've got to have the right information and tools and so forth. So with wealth maps, that's where it comes in. Listening to podcasts, reading books, educating yourself, taking courses on alternative wealth strategies and alternative asset investing, and then also then being part of a community, other people that can share sort of like a hive mind of intelligence of what's going on in the environment. And I mentioned this in the beginning. I'll finish on this. With wealth maps, you have to look at everything from all different angles so that you do not get blindsided. So people actually make fun of me sometimes because I read so widely all over the place. I mean, I go where they don't even have tin foils, they have aluminum foil hats on, to all the way to the other side where we're in the mainstream world. And that gives me a picture of like, okay, I think I have an idea. I've looked at many different viewpoints, and now I can form my own opinion and craft my own strategies.
Yeah, that's great. And you know, wealth maps, I think the analogy used to the vehicle is the investment, and then you got to plan all around that. I think that's fantastic. And what we're going to spend the rest of the time talking about is all the different vehicles, right? So you can fly from New York to California, but maybe you fly from New York to Ohio, and then you'd get on a train, and then you drive, and then you walk, and you know, there's a bunch of different ways, and those are the niches that we're going to talk about. This episode is sponsored by Midlock Investment Partners, the real estate investment firm, operator, and fund manager. Midlock invests in middle market properties valued between $5 and $50 million in the Midwest and beyond using a value-add strategy. Learn more about Midlock and join their mailing list at midlock.com. That's Midlock, MIDLOCH.com. Thanks, Midlock, for being a sponsor of Passive Investing from Left Field. Left Field Investors is a community dedicated to limited partner investors who are interested in building wealth through real estate investing. The community is focused on education, networking, and engagement with quality operators and partners. We provide tools, webinars, and a forum where members can discuss everything related to real estate investing, including deals, operators, investment strategies, and much more. Coming soon, we're adding a new tool, sponsor reviews. This will be a place where our members can rate and review operating partners to further help each other in our investment journeys. Check us out at leftfieldinvestors.com. So tell me about these three books. Why are they different? And why did you write three different books?
Yeah, so in 2016, I've started my show, and I've had an incredible, I'm so blessed and I'm so grateful for the opportunity to have learned so many different things and learn about all these different asset classes and the niches within the asset classes, that I wanted to create something and put it all out there, that this is kind of like my research. This is what I've learned. And I just wanted to give it to, you know, our audience and all the other people in the alternative asset investing space. So, and that's why I wrote it. That was the purpose behind this. Is I kind of look at it that that's my body of work since 2016. So the past 8 years, this has been my body of work. This has been my experience. And I wanted to share that with everyone and put it into many different media formats, you know, that they, which people can consume it, whether it be a physical book, whether it be a digital book, or whether it just be an audiobook.
Awesome. And so let's dive into it, right? So you have the 21 best cash flow niches, 21 most unique cash flow niches, 21 best cash growth niches. So let's start at the top. 21 best cash flow niches. I'm not going to ask you to talk about all 21. If they want to know it, they can read the book. Give us two or three of your favorites and give us a little bit of info about each one.
Yeah, there's some incredible ones there. So one, you know, that I'll share right now that I look at the world is cell tower investments. And that is quite an interesting asset class and an investment niche. You know, I just look at also like current trends, right? So we all see that, you know, mobile use is increasing, not just in the West, all over the world, all over the world. I mean, you go to Africa right now, everybody's got a mobile phone, and that's what they operate on with. And you look at the future and you go, well, they're going to roll out 5G. And that's, and I mean, they're in the process of rolling all of that out. And there's definitely going to be more Wi-Fi and wireless use tomorrow than there is today. And this will continue. And there's a great opportunity to invest in that particular asset class and niche. And there's different, obviously, models, right? So some people have land that they can put these towers on. Some companies buy the land, they put the towers on it. They develop it and then they sell it to another company and group, which then hold it because it provides such great cash flow. And your tenants also with these cell tower investments are like major mobile carriers. So there's a nice, it's nice to know that a massive mobile carrier is actually signing that lease and backing it. So it's not one of those situations where you're worried about whether rent's going to be paid or not, right? So there's a lot of different business models in it, but very, very interesting. And another niche when it comes to cash flow, which is very, very interesting too. And there's so many different ones in commercial real estate, which you talk about quite a bit. One that I find very interesting right now is land. And there's a cash flow strategy with land, whether it be to flip it or whether it be to buy it and then sell it and hold the note to a potential buyer. And then it's sort of like you're becoming the bank with land and it's backed by actual land. So why is that also a very interesting and unique cash flow niche? Well, if you look at the reason why a lot of people like cell storage is because your tenants are boxes, right? And if the rent is not paid, you move the boxes. It's the same thing with land. There's no people on there. It's just the land that's there. So if in that situation, if you're not flipping it, but if you're selling it to someone and you're holding the note for the buyer of the land and they don't pay on that note, well, you get your land back and then you get to do it all over again. So I love like these two niches too from a risk management standpoint. And then I'll throw like, you know, just these two other ones in there. I know we've talked about like very, very unique and interesting cash flow niches, but like tiny homes is huge trend in tiny homes. I see these businesses all over the place. Real estate investors are doing very well with tiny homes. There's like a whole movement around this, around the country. It's great. And RV parks kind of play into that too. It's very interesting how we had this huge Airbnb spike And now that Airbnb has sort of gone, we've had a bust basically in a lot of markets at a lot of like kind of like price points. Still doing okay right at the top, right? The very 0.01% of that market, the very luxury kind of end of Airbnb, but for the most part, taking a big hit. Well, the main beneficiary is you've got tiny homes and RV parks that are exploding. You try to get an RV and book a lot right now in an RV park, you're going to be on a waiting list in very desirable locations. So those are some great cash flow niches right now.
That's awesome. Thank you for that. Now we're going to move on to the one I've been looking forward to the most, I think, because I do like to chase the shiny object. And, you know, just to back up to episode 49, one of the best things I learned from you, MC, is the JOMO, which is joy of missing out, right? Instead of having FOMO. And so I've been trying to practice JOMO when it comes to all these different asset classes, because I can't invest in all of them, right? I just have to realize that. But I love to learn about them. And so give me some of these unique cash flow niches.
One very unique one, and this is gaining more steam and momentum. It was unique when I started researching it. Now it's becoming more and more, I would say, not mainstream in our world, is laundromats. Laundromats are just fantastic. And with the technology, really, it's like a hands-off kind of business where you can buy the space or lease the space, get your or buy an existing laundromat, and then update all the technology where there's entry where people would buy subscription models to get into the building. They would operate all on debit cards or prepaid cards. And you have all these ancillary products that you could sell inside of that laundromat to increase your cash flow and not just collect for the actual loads that are being washed or dried. Very, very interesting. Great tax benefits too, by the way, if you look at all the equipment that's being used in a laundromat. Great cash flow, great tax benefits, appreciation of the business model. Obviously, the equipment might get older, but the business in the right spot, managed well with the right memberships, I mean, you can grow your business significantly, which then increases the value of the business eventually for an exit that could then be sold.
Yeah.
And you get to leverage technology.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt, but I love the idea of laundromats. The one operator I know doing this, they also, like, they have to have staff there, right? And the staff is just sitting there all day. So they started going out to short-term rental companies and saying, hey, give us your sheets and towels and we'll turn those around real quick and throw them right back at you. So instead of having someone just sitting at the desk, you know, playing on their phone, you can have your employee helping people in the store, but also another revenue vertical. So sorry to interrupt, but I just wanted to add that in there.
Absolutely. And private aviation is another one. Now, a lot of people would say, oh, that seems like something out of my reach. It's really not, because again, there's syndication opportunities in private aviation. Private aviation since 2020 has exploded. I don't think people realize the growth. If you look at the growth of private aviation at all different levels, and I mean, this industry, it's tough to group them all together because, again, there's different levels of planes, sizes, business models, and so forth. But there's massive opportunity for investors to invest through syndications in private aviation companies. The cash flow is fantastic. The tax benefits are great. Appreciation, yes, you've got the jets that will depreciate, but if done correctly, you can also limit that. And if you have an private aviation business, a fleet of them, then now all of a sudden you have a business which continue to increase in value. So there is some appreciation there. And then you get to leverage the skill sets, capabilities, networks, and capital of others in that. So very, very interesting. And then the third one that I'll share there is franchises. You know, the franchise model, a lot of people are figuring out that, number one, the big corporations are replacing their workforce slowly but surely. People have started to figure this out because of AI. Most people haven't realized yet, but their jobs are becoming obsolete or will be in the next 12 to 18 months. For those folks that have caught on, they have become entrepreneurs, and we know the high failure rate of being an entrepreneur or just being an investor, starting, you know, starting cold, right from scratch, right? So a lot of people have been attracted to the franchise model and buy systems, because that's what you're buying, a business system in specific, you know, niches that produces predictable, consistent cash flow if they implement and execute this business system correctly. So it's a great way for people to get started, you know, and there are people building portfolios of franchises too in my network that have done really, really well.
That's excellent. So then we're going to move right on to the next one, 21 best cash growth niches. So first, let's talk about what is cash growth, and then give us some asset classes in that niche.
So cash growth niche isn't necessarily an asset that's going to produce and kick off cash flow for you. So yes, and that's why I said you've got in your investment strategy, you have to have some for cash flow, some for tax benefits, some for growth. So these are things that are going to provide significant like wealth leaps, meaning you're going to get explosive growths in them. That's why you position capital in them. So there's a very different reason why you hold them than why you, for example, invest in cell tower investments or private aviation, you know, syndications or franchises. So a very, very interesting and unique space is strategic metals, which is rare earth metals. And if anybody that's not familiar with rare earth metals, number one, they're not that rare, but they're used everywhere. Your cell phones, your computers, in healthcare, in aviation, in military, the contracting world. So rare earth metals are used. I mean, EVs is the other big one, right? Electrical vehicles. So there's a massive demand for them, and China's cornered that market completely. And I mean, most people don't know this, but China's basically cornered Africa too, right? The game's over in Africa where all of these rare earth metals are. So China is the biggest player there. They've cornered this. And there's a massive demand. So you can only see massive distortions in the market by one player cornering the market and huge demand for this. It sets up an asymmetric opportunity such as one that I haven't seen in a long time. So you can actually, you know, you can directly invest into strategic metals just like you can in gold and silver, store it with a third party, have direct ownership to it, and have a buyer when you're ready to sell it. And these have gone up about 30% per year over the past 2 or 3 years, and the party's only getting started. So that's what I'm talking about, cash growth here. Another one, which is fascinating, a little bit of a longer play, this one, but this one is fine whiskey. What an incredible world that is. It's one of the most downloaded episodes on Cashflow Ninja for the past 18 months. And basically what it is, you can invest in fine whiskey. You can, as a investor, buy a cask of whiskey, fine whiskey from a specific distillery in Scotland, which is then stored for you. You have direct ownership to it, and you can keep it for 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years and then sell it. You know, and as I've learned, there's a different market for 5-year-old aged fine whiskey in a cask than there is for a 25-year-old. So if you think about the market that exists for 25-year-old fine whiskey, I mean, at that stage, there's people that would be willing to write you a blank check for it, right? At that kind of level. So this is not a cash flow play, very, very different play. But if you look at the potential for gains and for appreciation, I mean, it's astounding. You know, there are some people that have their children born. And as their children get born, they take, let's just say, $100,000 and buy a cask of fine Scottish whiskey. And then when those children get to 20 years old and they're ready to go to college, just selling 20-year-old fine whiskey will pay for the entire college experience and more. So it's a very interesting play. I mean, it's very, very unique. And then, of course, you know, one other thing that I also share when it comes to cash growth is, and this is getting a lot of attention now, of course, but we've seen enormous growth in cryptocurrencies such as Bitcoin. So, and of course, those are very, very cyclical, but the, you know, I do talk about that too, and the strategy around that and why that's going on. And we've been following that since 2015. So we've been through all of these different cycles of it. But if you look at where it was in 2015 and where it is now today in 2024, very, very interesting stuff. I mean, incredible. We're talking growth that I don't think another asset class can match. So, but there is, there's so many interesting and very, very unique, cash growth, opportunities, you know, just as with fine whiskey, by the way, there's like fine wine for folks that go, well, I'm not really into whiskey. There's fine wine opportunities. So there's so many incredibly different, very interesting and unique opportunities that's out there.
That's fantastic. I love all of that. But I want to know more. How do I get these books?
Yeah, so the books I've made available, the digital and the audio format, I'm giving them away. So like I said, this is my I look at this as my work at Cashflow Ninja for the past 8 years, and I wanted to share this with people. So if they can go to cashflowninja.com, that's cashflowninja.com, the podcasts that are on there, again, we've made them available to everyone, and then the book. So the books, when you download the PDF, which I'm giving away for free, you could also get access to the audio, which is available on Spotify and iTunes. So if you just want to listen to this, and you don't even have to opt in to any form, which I would highly recommend you do, because we put out some great content and we share the best information out there. But if you just want to listen to the audiobooks, you can already now, once you're done listening to this episode, if you're listening on Spotify or iTunes, just type in the 21 best cashflow niches or the 21 most unique cashflow niches or the 21 best cash growth niches, or type in MC Laubscher, and you'll already find it on there, and you could just listen to the audiobook. So cashflowninja.com, they can download the digital format of the book for free. And they also get access to the audiobook, or they could just go to Spotify or iTunes and listen to the audiobook for free. If you want a physical copy of the book, they will be available on Amazon.com. You could just type in the titles or MC Laubscher, and you'll find the books. And they're very reasonably priced, obviously, for folks that want an actual physical copy of the book.
That's awesome. This is great. I do want to jump back and ask you one more question. You know, our community at Left Field Investors, we're mostly passive investors who want to invest in syndications, right? We don't want to manage these investments. So I don't want to go one by one through all 63, obviously, but do most of these niches have the opportunity to be passive and do it through a syndication or some similar type of operation that isn't, you know, in my direct control? Because I don't want anything in my direct control.
I'm exactly the same as you, Jim. And my whole philosophy is it's all about the life that you want to build, right? And for most of us, and if you're listening to this, you're probably in the same boat. You don't want to go out there and be an operator or a sponsor. You just want to passively invest as a limited partner and invest in syndications or invest in these opportunities. And yes, every single one of these asset classes and these niches that I feature, there are passive opportunities available in every single one of them. So, and that's how I look at it. And it's a great question because, as everybody knows, I've been very, very active as an investor since 2001. But since I've started a family, you know, which is now, you know, it's time flies when you're having fun, you know, 8 years ago, right? About the same time I started my show. But since I've started a family, a lot of things have changed for me too. You know, I don't want to go out and be an operator and a sponsor and start another business or be involved in another business constantly. So I'm also looking for passive investment opportunities to invest in as an LP, because that gives me the freedom of my time. It frees me up, and I know I'm investing with people that I've done the work on. I've vetted them. I've really, really vetted the operators and the sponsors and their teams and so forth, which there's chapters in the books that I share all of that. And by the way, I also share in the book how you can build an unlimited pipeline of these deals. And I share in that chapter a link where you can listen to an episode that I did interviewing Jim on my show, where we talk about that, of how you can structure a system where you have access to unlimited deal flow from the best vetted operators and sponsors in all of these different niches.
Fantastic. Well, this has been awesome. The last question I always ask is, what's a great podcast that you listen to? I'm going to read off three that you cannot use: Cashflow Ninja, Cashflow Investing Secrets, and Cashflow Ninja Banking. Those are all your podcasts. They're going to be in the show notes anyway. So give me another podcast that you like to listen to.
Besides Passive Investing from Left Field, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
there's a lot of great ones out there. I do love Capital Hacking too, with Josh McCallan, obviously.
Josh.
So Capital Hacking is great, and it's a show that I also listen to from time to time.
Awesome. Well, thank you, MC. This has been fantastic. This is one of those episodes that I'm going to listen to a couple times, and then I'm going to get all the books. So thanks for being on the show. We really appreciate you.
Appreciate you. Thank you so much for having me, Jim. This has been fantastic. And appreciate all of the listeners.
Have a deal in mind and a group of investors ready to go? Use TribeVest to pool your capital together through a multi-member LLC. TribeVest has streamlined the group investment process, making it easy, quick, and safe to do business with others. Start a tribe and invite your partners to join. Then you can use the platform to collaborate with your partners, pool capital, and manage your joint investments. I'm in 12 tribes myself. It is a great way to learn from others, spread risk, and get into deals at lower minimums. Go to TribeVest.com to get started today. Investing in syndications can be a daunting task. Wiring a large sum of your hard-earned money to someone you talk to on the phone for 30 minutes can certainly be scary. How can you be confident in what you're doing? Steve Sue, one of the founders of LFI, just published a book called Avoiding Rookie Errors as a Left Field Investor, 20 lessons learned from 14 years of investing in private syndications. This is by far the best book I've read on syndication investing. It's an easy-to-read book, chock full of great advice from Steve's experience as a passive investor. It is a must-read. Whether you're a first-time passive investor or a veteran, go to www.leftfieldinvestors.com/books and click on the link to Avoiding Rookie Errors as a Left Field Investor. If you are a passive investor, you got to read this book. Really enjoyed that conversation. You know, there's so much knowledge that MC has, and I was just digging it. I really did take a ton of notes and just was trying to learn from him. And, you know, he talks about he reads everything from mainstream to not even the tinfoil hat. I think he said some other kind of hat. So some of the stuff he has, you know, he talks about is a little bit off the wall, but he goes the whole gamut. And it's so interesting to hear him talk. And some of the things that I got out of there is when he looks at investment, he writes down the 10 best and the 10 worst reasons to do that investment. And the reason is, you know, he wants to reduce his blind sides. He wants to know, okay, if I'm not thinking of something, I want to try and figure it out so that I can protect myself. So I thought that was great. And then every liability is someone else's asset. And of course, that makes sense. But how often do you really think of it that way? You want to be on the other side when you can. You want to turn your liabilities into assets and be the person with the assets. And so that's what he did. He analyzed it, looked at it, and said, okay, I see all these liabilities. Let's see what the other people are doing. And he noticed it's the banks and some others. And so he found infinite banking and went on from there. So I just think that's a simple concept. But like Jomo, the last episode, The Joy of Missing Out, once you kind of grasp it, it can be something that kind of guides you along the way. Like I've been trying to do Jomo as much as I can, and it has saved me from chasing some shiny objects. Of course, after reading his three books, I'm probably going to have other shiny objects to chase. So I have to practice my Jomo there as well. And alternatives, right? I have always disliked calling what we do alternative investing because, like I said in the podcast, the alternatives, it's where you live, it's where you go to work, it's where, you know, you go to vacation, all this stuff. How is that alternative? But what it is, it's alternative to mainstream, because mainstream investments, you know, Wall Street and the government, they are two of the biggest beneficiaries from the typical IRA account or brokerage account and those type of investments. That doesn't mean don't do anything that's mainstream. It just means look into alternatives. And if you're listening to this podcast, that's what you're doing. And there are tax benefits. There's all kinds of benefits that MC talked about of these alternative investments. So you don't have to just go with the flow where everybody wants you to go, which is mainstream investments. You can do something different. And the other thing he talked about was the further away from the investment, the less control and the higher fees. And that is so correct, right? If I invest in Apple and I have a question, I'm not calling up Tim Cook, or I could, he's not answering the phone, right? But if I invest in a multifamily deal and I've selected the operator carefully and I have a question, I can call them up and get them on the phone today and ask him my question and get an answer. And also the fees, you're right. The more layers of intermediaries there are in between you and the investment, the more fees there are. So if you're directly investing with an operator, yes, there's some fees and they should be paid, but it's one or two sets of fees where if you do a REIT, right, you're still in real estate, but there's a bunch of other fees and you don't get access to some of the other benefits like the tax benefits. So super interesting. I love how he characterized that. The further away from the investment you are, the less control. And then the wealth map. You know, it just, some of this stuff is so just basic, but also complicated, right? It's a great analogy traveling from New York to LA. How are you going to get there? What are you going to encounter on the way? All of that. Okay, so do that for your wealth as well and do it every year or every 5 years or however you do it. But just a great analogy, the wealth map. And finally, the books. He's got three new books out, and I really do like to learn new stuff, chase the shiny object a little bit, but carefully, right? So I'm going to read these books and find two or three of these asset classes that I haven't been doing before and look into them and see if I can find an operator that I trust and go for it, right? What that does is it further diversifies, because when you start out in this, you're multifamily, and then you end up looking at your portfolio a few years later and you're like, holy cow, I'm 60, 70% multifamily with a few other things sprinkled in. I want to sprinkle some more stuff in so I can diversify without chasing every shiny object that comes up, but I want to diversify so that no matter what happens in the economy, I still have these income streams coming in. So longer episode than we normally do, and again, longer summation, but man, I thought MC just killed it. I was super interested in what he was talking about, and can't wait to see the books. So that's it for this time. We'll catch you next time in the left field.
Thanks for hanging out in the left field with us today. If you're interested in becoming a left fielder, you can find us on the World Wide Web at www.leftfieldinvestor.com and click the subscribe button to join our community. If you enjoyed the podcast, please subscribe to the show on your podcast player so you don't miss an episode. If you really enjoyed the show, a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to the podcast would be appreciated.
This show is for entertainment purposes only. Nothing said on the show should be considered financial advice. Before making any decisions, consult a professional. This show is copyrighted by Passive Investing from Left Field and Left Field Investors. Written permissions must be granted before syndication or rebroadcasting.